This Torah class is brought to you by TorahAnytime.com.
We are starting with a nice word on Parshas Masai. The Tveres Bunim says in the Pusik, Eile Masai B'nai Yisrul, Ashi Yotzi Meitz Mitzrayim, Tzavoysom, V'yichtev Moishas Moitzuayim L'Masayim. A lot of different Mepharshim try to explain the word Moitzuayim L'Masayim. So the Tveres Bunim explains that the Pusik says, Zachayt L'Ocheset Nirayich, Right, Lechtech Achra Bamidbar. Hashem is saying that he remembers the chasudim and the greatness, the schis of Klal Yisrael that went following the Eibishter in the Midbar. It's amazing. Klal Yisrael just walked behind the Eibishter, behind Hashem for 40 years in the Midbar. And when you think of it, it wasn't so hard to walk in Hashem's follow Hashem's lead in the Midbar. The Yidden were missing nothing. They were lacking nothing. As a matter of fact, every time they complained, we're taught that they did the wrong thing. Why are you complaining? They had what to eat, they had what to drink, they had the clothing, they had the Anani HaKuvah, they had whatever they wanted in the Midbar. It was the best thing in the world. They came to Yisroel, and then they started struggling, they started planting and working, or whatever, but in the Midbar, they were lacking nothing. So what's this Chayt L'Chesed Nirayach? So he explains, and it's brought another surah as well, that the Chesed Nirayach was leaving Mitzrayim, going into the Midbar, not knowing that they'll have whatever they need. They didn't know that. Hashem didn't tell them you're going to have the Mon and the Ba'ir and Anani HaKuvah and whatever else. They just followed Hashem straight out of Mitzrayim, straight into the Midbar, knowing that they don't have anything to eat, they don't have anything to plant, they don't have anything to do. And they're just following Hashem. And that was a Murdig in Mesis Nefesh. That's the Lichtech Achrei. The going after Hashem, the leaving Mitzrayim and following Hashem. And that's Vihicht of Moshe's Moitzuayim, the Masayim. The Moitzuayim is the leaving Mitzrayim, Lushan Yitzir. Hashem Yotzi Meir's Mitzrayim. That was the big chesed, the Mesis Nefesh of Klal Yisrael. In the beginning, people don't know what's going to come. And that's when it takes some Mesis Nefesh when it comes to Shulam Bayis. When a couple starting off, you know, it's definitely new. As well or as not well as you know each other when you're first getting married, it's new. There's a lot of trust needed on the one hand because you're living with someone, you have no idea. Nobody really knows what's going to come down the road, whatever challenges, whatever good things, bad things, nobody knows. It takes a certain amount of trust. If somebody's going to say, you know what, I don't want to be committed to this relationship after we get married until I really, really, really feel comfortable and confident that everything will always be well. It's ridiculous, obviously. And sometimes, unfortunately, people do that. They stay very reserved. They don't feel comfortable to open up and to be committed and to decide that I married the right person. Obviously, a big mistake. And a leap of faith and a lot of trust is necessary when you're starting off knowing that it's going to be good. And that you have to behave and it will be good when you do that. On the other hand, sometimes people expect from the other to be too open and too comfortable and too settled and too confident. You have to give someone a chance. Sometimes people are starting off and they don't have the faith in you that they have, that Klal Yisrael had in Hashem. Just walk into the Midbar and say, okay, we're here to stay. No, sometimes you have to let people warm up and adapt. And you know, it's like everything in life. There's the balance. You do need a certain amount of trust and you do need a certain amount of adapting. And there's a certain amount of reservation that's considered normal, and all this, you know, always has to be applied properly. With that, let me read a question, a sensitive one. Hi, thanks for all your shirim. I really gain from them. Have a question which I know that other people can relate to. After I got married to my wonderful husband, I had a weird feeling that he's hiding something big from me. Many times it was hard for me to express or receive love because I felt as if he's hiding such a big thing. Because I felt that if he's hiding something, such a big thing, he must not really be close to me. A few months after our wedding, I confirmed my suspicion. I saw that my husband was taking something every day. I googled what that medication was for, and I was fine with the results. But I couldn't and still can't stomach the fact that he's hiding it from me. I have some days that inside I'm very resentful, and sometimes I tell myself that I was never in such shoes, and I can't judge him. After a few weeks of thinking about it every day, there was an incident where something fell out of his pocket without him knowing, and it was in a setting where I didn't want him to be ashamed, so I quickly picked it up so as not to cause him embarrassment. That night, I started telling him that there's something that's been bothering me for the past few months. I know about something that you're hiding from me, and I want to make both of our lives easier, so I want to tell you that I know about it. In the end, I couldn't bring myself to say the actual thing, so it stayed that we'll continue the conversation the next day. And the next day came and went, and I'm back to square one. My question is, what's the right approach for this? I would love to tell my husband that I love him no matter what, and this condition does not interfere with the amazing husband and father he is. I know that some women have their husband smoke behind their back, In fact, my husband told me that his friend who was married for many years smokes and his wife doesn't know about it. I think it can't be. His wife probably does know and is suffering quietly, just like me. I hope you'll be able to give me some ideas to resolve this issue. Thank you so much for your time. Usually when I read sensitive questions, I try to change more details, but I wanted to get into the question. I didn't want to change too many details. So I'll start off by saying that just recently, and every once in a while, I spoke in a shiur about keeping secrets in general, in marriage, and if you have to say everything, you don't have to say everything, total transparency or not. And I think that people who are listening to me probably know some of my ideas about that, which I'll get to soon. But let's talk about this topic over here. Starting with the idea of medication and hiding medication, hiding a diagnosis, or whatever it may be. Right, this is a very, very sensitive topic. Very sensitive topic, with people very passionate about different opinions about it. And I don't think I should be publicly weighing in on it if I don't want to get a lot of negative feedback. I'll say that Baruch Hashem, in this situation at least, it sounds like somebody who's relatively okay with the medication, with the diagnosis. That's not the issue. The issue is just the keeping the secret. But because you started off saying that, you know, a lot of people could relate to this, I'll tell you, you're right, a lot of people could relate to this, and a lot of people could relate to it in situations where the actual medication and the diagnosis wasn't known, and it was kept a secret, and then find out about it, hear these stories every day, and very hurtful, very painful. So sometimes it's what was being hidden, sometimes it's that something was being hidden. But in any case, this is a very sensitive topic that people get very resentful over, very passionate about. Now, on the one hand, you have parents who are medicating children all the time, maybe too often, right? A child's struggling with something, no problem, you get some medication and things are good now, right? And everyone knows when they start doing such a thing that, you know, you might have a problem one day, because when this child gets married, I don't know if you want to share that information, that he's taking something for anxiety or mood swings or concentration or whatever else you decided to medicate him for, right? And maybe it was the right thing to do. What happens is later on, the parents are faced with the nesoyon when it comes to a shidduch, and should they say it or should they not say it? Now, regardless of how they make that decision, either because they asked someone who told them they don't have to say it based on the way they asked the question, or they decided on their own that my child doesn't really need it, so I don't really have to say it, whatever else. The psychiatrist told me then, 7 years ago, he doesn't really need it, so I don't really have to say it, whatever it is. So again, you want to have the best of both worlds. You want to be able to medicate your child so that he's sitting nicely at the Shabbos Suda, and out of your hair. And I don't mean to trivialize the problems that people deal with. I'm just saying, and then you want to also have the advantage of doing a wonderful shidduch because he's behaving so nicely. Nobody notices that he's so fidgety like he used to be, right? He used to be jumping around in shul or in school, and nobody would have taken him for a shidduch, but now he's doing well. But you don't want to have to tell anyone about that. And that's always, you know, where people want both. And it's very, very, very tricky. And a lot of times these same parents wouldn't want to take somebody for their child who was taking medication. And the truth is that with a lot of shidduchim questions, this comes up. Oh, I hope I'm not opening a can of worms. Very many people, I won't say most, but very many people know things about their children. Let's move aside from mental health and medication for a minute. Not almost all. Many people know things about their children that they wouldn't want people to know. And when it comes to shidduch, they're not going to share that part. Right, the parents whose son wakes up very late, he's not telling the shadchan, I have a wonderful boy, but he wakes up very late, make sure that whoever marries him is okay with it. You hide that. Now, is it okay to hide it? Should you hide it? Again, this is not the place to discuss exactly what should or shouldn't be said. My point is just that people look at it like, yeah, it's terrible when somebody hides the idea of medication. Just remember that very many people are hiding very many things that they know about their child, which they don't think they would do well in shidduchim, if people would know about it, and they themselves wouldn't take someone if they knew that that person had the same challenge, they wouldn't take a girl who they know is so late or so sensitive or so opinionated or so I don't know what, and you still do the shidduch and hope that somebody won't find out or they'll tolerate whatever it is that you're selling them. I'm just saying that this is a common thing. I'm not here to say what's right and wrong. I'm just bringing out that, you know, on the one hand, people want to feel comfortable with the medication. On the other hand, they're not really comfortable with it. And they're not sure if other people will be comfortable with it. And then you have also a lot of people who are trying to break the stigma, they call it. Break the stigma. Medication is fine. So you take medication. You're going for therapy. What's the big deal, right? Now, it could be. There's definitely a lot of merit to that mindset. That somebody who needs help shouldn't feel like a crazy person. Now, just like a redhead shouldn't feel crazy because they have red hair. So you have an issue, you go to therapy. If only everyone would be in therapy, that's how they say it. Everyone should be taking something. The pharmacist says that everyone's taking it. But at the end of the day, these people that are promoting this may also have reservations of if they would want to take a son-in-law or daughter-in-law who's in therapy for a long time and on medication. And, you know, if I have a choice of taking somebody who's not in therapy and not on medication and doing just as well, you know, maybe I'm not looking for a problem that's being, covered up. In any case, my point is that it's a very sensitive topic. It's a very sensitive topic. It's sensitive for the people who feel that they're either cheated or being lied to, and then they find out about something. It's sensitive for the people who don't want to expose themselves in a way that's just going to shoot themselves in the leg and make believe that, you know, breaking the stigma is the answer, and then everything will just be fine, and everyone's going to just take your kid, even though he's diagnosed with BPD, but he's on medication. He's bipolar. It's under control. It's a very, very sensitive topic. I don't think there's a better way to address it than having people, discuss it with Das Torah. And I know everyone has their ideas about who to discuss what with, but I think that's what it boils down to. That's what it boils down to. The fact that if somebody is hiding something when it comes to a shidduch, for example, without checking with Das Torah that is the right thing to do, well, that's obviously a big avla. And the fact that somebody was guided by Das Torah sometimes that certain things don't have to be shared, so you got your guidance. Somebody might not like it one day. But this is not something that... My point is just... You didn't ask me if somebody should say this by a shidduch or not. My point is just that, on the one hand, I do understand why he hid this information and why he may not have felt comfortable sharing it, because a lot of people don't feel comfortable sharing certain things about their conditions, whatever they may be, not knowing how you'll take it. You have to be a wonderful person, seeing the good in it and not being phased by it, but not everyone may feel like that. On the other hand, I understand why this is bothering you. I really do. And I've heard many people that were bothered by these things. So with that said, let me just go back a little bit and talk again about the topic of hiding things when it comes to marriage, right? Secrets is not a way of life. If you're married to someone and you're living with someone, sharing a room and a home and a family and a life with someone, then being secretive and just sharing whatever you have to share, like you would do at work, is obviously not a way of life. And like you even said, keeping secrets is sometimes what actually causes a big distance. You could smell, you could feel when somebody's being secretive. Obviously, you can. I won't say that everyone's as intuitive as you are, and realize that something's being hidden. But sometimes it's a feeling, it's a vibe. Like, where were you today? Oh, nothing. I was just around. Oh, and who did you spend time with? Ah, some friends. Yeah. Uh-huh. And where are they from? Ah, from around. You know, guys. You know, people talk like that, and it doesn't feel good, and it doesn't take a rocket scientist to realize when somebody's not being open with you in general. So it's obviously not a way of life in general. On the other hand, people are definitely entitled a certain amount of privacy. Somebody just told me this past week that his wife was going through his texts or his interactions with people, whatever it was, and he felt it wasn't okay. He felt it wasn't okay. A certain privacy. I don't need to go through every conversation. It's like, why not? What are you hiding? I'm not hiding. I don't want you sticking your hand in my pocket while I'm wearing my pants. And I don't want you looking through my phone. When you think about it, yeah, it makes sense. You know, something's allowed to belong to a person. There's still individuality after you get married. And we spoke about this at length. The few main ideas that just to figure out when and how much and if and things like that, just to break it down. The first thing that whenever it comes to secrets, whenever it comes to anything private, I don't want to call it a secret. When it comes to anything private, right? Who are you hiding it from? If you're hiding it from a neighbor or just somebody, some random person, you know, obviously that's the way it should be. A lot of people just open book, they tell everyone everything, like, I have nothing to hide, open book. What's so great about being open book? You know, why are you telling everyone, you know, everything about yourself? That's not a good thing. And to have that level of privacy with your spouse is also a terrible thing. Who are you hiding from? Everything has to be taken into account. Why are you hiding from the person you're closest to? Right? In general, you shouldn't be hiding too much from a person you're very close to. You shouldn't have that many things that are too private to share. On the other hand, and this is for the spouse sometimes, if somebody's hiding something from you, somebody you're married to, I mention this idea very often. Think about why they might be hiding it. Now, sometimes they're hiding it just because it's private and it's somewhat personal or somewhat embarrassing. You know, they don't have to tell you something. They don't have to tell you everything. There are definitely things that go into the category of just not comfortable sharing. Not a question. You make a mistake, you did something wrong, whatever. You don't have to share everything just because we're very close. On the other hand, sometimes there are things that you would have shared or somebody would have shared with you if only they felt more comfortable. sometimes a wife or a husband has the opportunity to make the spouse feel comfortable enough to share something, but they don't do that. They don't do that. If every time your husband tells you, I'm not talking about this question, it doesn't sound like that at all, I'm just mentioning. If every time your husband tells you something, right, you start asking 100 questions, or you start getting critical, and you start telling him why he did the stupid thing, or how come you did that, then what are the chances he's going to feel comfortable telling you the next thing? Every time your wife tells you the way she spent her day or the way she spent some money, and every time it becomes an issue, then what makes you think she's going to tell you every... I mean, you're shutting someone up. So this is always something to think about. The person hiding from someone, think about who is it that you're hiding from and why you're hiding from someone that close. Maybe sometimes there's reason to. Just make sure that you took that into account. And if somebody's hiding something from you, think about why would they be hiding it. The next thing always is to think about what is it that you're hiding. Are you hiding something that's simply personal and embarrassing, right? And you know, no reason to share it. And everyone has those embarrassing things about themselves, either something they did or something that they once did long ago, something that happened to them, somebody said something to them. It's normal to want to hide something private. And it's normal b'chlal to have some private ideas or some private things in your life, which is fine. Then there are other things that are shameful, not because they're private or embarrassing, but because they're wrong. That's always something that people have to take into consideration. If you're hiding something from someone because you shouldn't be doing it, so you're hiding it to make sure nobody knows, then the point, the topic isn't anymore, are you allowed to hide it? The topic is, are you allowed to do it? In other words, the fact that you got used to doing things behind your spouse's back, if that's what's enabling you to do the wrong thing, then that's not a way to go. So, and I'm not suggesting that you come and tell your wife, you know, I did something wrong today, every avaida, chtusi visi pshati, I'll give you my whole vidi and confession. It's a big mistake. People make that mistake. People make that mistake of confessing everything they did wrong to their spouse in the hopes that, you know, disclosure and honesty and openness, and they just kill the marriage and they just kill the trust and they kill the relationship. And it's not always a way to do it. You could do that to someone. You could talk to your rav, you could talk to your friend, you might be better off talking to someone else. But if not sharing the information is what lets you do things that are wrong, that's obviously a problem of its own. Nothing to do with secrets. It's wrong to do the wrong thing and to feel comfortable with it just because nobody knows. That's a separate issue. So if you're doing something on your devices or doing something in general that you shouldn't be doing, don't use the fact that you don't have to share with your wife as the excuse. Quickly find yourself a web chaver or somebody you can trust and open to and say, listen, I have this problem and I want to get over it. Not a question. And the third thing, which it's hard to give examples about this because I don't want to teach anyone not to be truthful, chas v'shulam, but if you're hiding something, do it right. Do it right. If you're just going to hide something in your pocket, or you're going to hide something in a way that, you know, it's going to be delivered to your door, but you hope your wife won't notice the package or whatever else, yeah, obviously that's very silly. And if you know that your spouse will find out about something anyway, then it's probably better if you're the one to bring it up in the right moment, in the right attitude, in the right whatever, than waiting for this to just plot on its own and cause resentment. So those are some things to take into consideration when you're considering, not sharing a certain piece of information. On the other hand, it's clear to me, and I talk about this often, that there are people that are too open and say too many things, and sometimes too quickly. And I remember a few situations of people who, in the Sheva Brachos, were fresh, were new, were one, were like so connected, it's amazing, and they spilled all the beans in the first few days of Sheva Brachos, and it caused a lot of problems. Now, after 2 or 3 weeks into marriage, they probably would have realized that, okay, not everything has to be said, you know, as one as we are, we're still two people, you know, but sometimes you get too open too quick, and that could also be a problem. So in general, there are people that are, not just Sheva Brachos people, but there are people that are promoting total transparency, and they can't handle the information that's being shared. So that's not good and not healthy. So there's a balance to everything in life, and, you know, you mentioned the smoking example, that there are guys that are smoking behind their wives' back. Again, without getting too deep into any specific topic, right? Smoking is not good. It says it on the pack of cigarettes. We all know that. If somebody wants to smoke, is he allowed to smoke? One of my first shiurim on Torah Anytime was about, one of the first Q&A was about a husband who wanted to smoke and the wife didn't let. It's a big topic. It's a big topic. It's a topic of control. It's a topic, you know, I don't let you do something. Well, who said I have to ask you what I do, right? As long as it's not disturbing your wife. The fact that a guy wants to smoke when he's in koil, or here or there, and he doesn't want his wife to know about it, then she won't handle it, and she'll be upset at him if he does, and all of a sudden, everything's going to start smelling the second she found out, you know, then why should he share it? Now, I'm not saying he's doing the right thing by smoking, I'm not saying he's doing the right thing by not sharing it. It could be she's just offended, like you were, that he's not sharing it. Maybe she'll even be okay with it. Or maybe she won't. So there's definitely different sides to this. And you know, a lot of it has to do with how comfortable you make each other feel. Now, by now, you ask me what to do. By now, first of all, by the time I'm reading this, a lot of water passed under the bridge, and I don't know, you know, what happened in the meantime. But by now, you both know. It seems that you both know. The cat is out of the bag, and the elephant in the corner, you know, is probably worse than not saying anything. I remember a cartoon about a couple that couldn't see each other because there was this huge elephant in the room, and they were both like trying to find each other, and one asked the other, what elephant? You know, sometimes it's like so obvious, and you don't want to acknowledge. And of course, that just makes people even more distant and even more resentful. I think by now, it's not a question that it should be mentioned. How do you mention it? You could be nice about it. You have to be challenging about it. You don't have to say something like, why didn't you tell me, and I'm so hurt, and I'm so resentful. It might be hard enough that he has to take something. It might be hard enough that that his secret got out. Don't make him feel worse by the fact that, you know, you're unhappy with what happened. You could be very nice about it and say, listen, you know, I did notice it. We could try to be open about these things. I'm not upset at you. I see you to be an amazing husband, father, etc., etc. You know, when you make someone feel comfortable, then just letting the secret out of the bag and not having to walk on eggshells around an issue and hide everything or whatever, it just makes things easier, I think. In general, couples have to have some kind of mahalach how to discuss undesirable things, because it's everywhere. Not everywhere is it secrets. There's always something undesirable. And when you learn how to navigate and communicate the sensitive topics, you know, with the right introduction, with the right ending, make sure everyone feels good, and share the information that has to be shared, you know, very often that's what takes care of these things. Communication is everything. Now, I'll just end with this. You said, and I wanted to mention these words, that sometimes you tell yourself that you were never in such shoes and you can't judge him. It's right. You can't judge him. You can't judge him. And so often we expect others to do what we would have done without knowing if we really would have done that, because we were never there. And even if we would have done something a certain way, we were still not in that person's shoes, because that person has different shoes. And he's a different person. So when we're in the same shoes, we're still different people and have different skills and capabilities. And very often we just get stuck on these things of, but I would have, but he should have. No, you can't judge, and support to remember it, and support to say it. Just in case you bring it up to him, you could say it. And the fact that you're holding here already, deal with it. Deal with it. I just gave a Chelem Ashir last week. And one of the lessons from the Chelem story was that the Chelem guy, he's waiting for a train, but the train's not coming because there's no train. But he keeps on waiting there because he wants a train. Very often people just get stuck somewhere in life. I want things to be a certain way. I would have wanted things to be a certain way. I think things should be a certain way, so I'm just stuck now. It doesn't work like that. You got to deal with what's happening. I understand that it's not comfortable for you, the fact that your husband didn't share this information with you. I understand that you would have wanted things to be different. This is the way it is. Deal with it. Deal with it. Be forgiving. Communicate. Be understanding. Be forthcoming. Deal with it. In general, when people hit these bumps in life, and marriage, whatever, just deal with it. It's not easy, but deal with it. Don't get stuck. Don't let this be the road bump that you can't get over. And I think now is the litmus test. You want to know why your husband didn't share something with you. And like I said before, sometimes the reason somebody doesn't share something is because he doesn't know how he'll take it. Well, now you're going to prove it to him. How are you going to make him feel for not sharing this with you? How are you going to talk to him and make him feel about the fact that he didn't share it with you? So it's not only, you know, like you said, you weren't upset about what he hid, but you were upset about the fact that he hid something. And if you're going to be upset at him for hiding something, he might be tempted to hide the next thing and hide it even better instead of sharing it and saying, oh, I feel so comfortable with you. Whatever I do is good. You know, you don't get upset at me anyway. I might as well share private information. So very often when these things happen, people don't realize this is the opportunity to let your husband feel good, feel comfortable enough to never want to hide something from you again. So deal with it the right way and be smart about it instead of building a case and showing why somebody did something wrong and why they should never do it again. And they're just feeling more and more afraid to share the next undesirable or uncomfortable thing. So with that, let's make a short summary. The idea of medication, like I said, it's a sensitive topic. The people that are burnt by someone else's secrets are always upset about it. The people that, you know, that are in that situation for whatever reason feel that, you know, they don't want to kill every shidduch or every whatever about the future. And definitely is a lot of das Torah, not something that I'm going to give opinions about. The idea of secrets in general, yeah, you always have to think about who you're hiding from and what you're hiding and how you're hiding it, and if it's the right thing to do and if it's just the wrong thing to do, or if it's really understood. And most often, when we make each other feel very comfortable, there's a certain comfort that allows almost everything to be shared. Still not everything, but almost everything. And that's how it should be. By the time something came up that wasn't great, it's always about communication, saying it nicely, not being afraid to say it, saying it the best way, and making people feel very comfortable. And, you know, Naibish himself, like you said, you know, it's the beginning of marriage. The beginning of marriage definitely does require a certain trust on both ends. Right? We can't be reserved and stuck and private, you know, if we want to make a relationship work. On the other hand, it takes time, it takes a leap of faith. And when somebody doesn't have it yet, don't eat them up for it. Make them feel comfortable, invite it. I mean, Ibrish yourself, with the right understanding and communication and feeling one for another, we're able to live together.
You've just experienced another Torah class brought to you by TorahAnytime.com.